بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين، ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is يوم السبت. It is Saturday. It is the 20th, inshallah, of Jumada al-Thani, 1430 years after the Hijra of our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, corresponding with June 13th, the year 2009. And this event, which is taking place here at Masjid Al-Fajr in Chester, Pennsylvania, this event specifically for the sisters, walillahi alhamd, is with regard to personalities from amongst the women from the past, from our noble salaf. The personality that we've chosen, who may not be known to many of you sisters, is a woman that Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his enormous, stupendous, extremely valuable book, Siyar A'lam al-Nubala, the biographies of the notable people from the past, he mentioned about this woman. He said, أَظُنُّهَا آخِرُ الصَّحَابِيَّاتِ وَفَاتًا, that I believe that she is the last of the female companions to die. That she is the last of the female companions to die. This was the opinion of Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, about this woman whose name was Amma. And for you sisters that are studying the Arabic language, barakallahu fi kunna, then we're going to spell her name for you, which is our habit in our classes in Baltimore. We're going to spell the name for you in Arabic so you can write it down, inshallah. The first letter of her name is Aleph with a Hamza. And over the Hamza is a Fatha. A. Then a Meem with a Fatha. Amma. And then a closed Ta, which we call Ta al-Marbuta. And there's a Dhamma over that, because we know that female names that have a closed Ta at the end do not take Tanween. They do not take Nunation. You can't say Un at the end of them, like you say Kitabun or Masjidun. You can't do that with a feminine name. So we say Amatu. Her name is Amma. Like we say Amatullah, and some of us incorrectly pronounce that, we say Amatullah, but it's Amatullah. But her name is not Amatullah, it is simply Amma. She is Amma bintu Khalid, Sahabiyya, Qurashiyya, Makkiyya. She is Amma, the daughter of Khalid. She was a female companion from the tribe of Quraysh, and she's from Mecca. Tukanna Umma Khalid. She is given the nickname Khalid. Tukanna Umma Khalid. Abuha Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-'Aas. أحد السابقين إلى الإسلام. Her father's name was Khalid. Remember her kunya. And her name was Amma. Her kunya was Ummu Khalid. And her father's name was Khalid. He was Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-'Ash. And he was one of the sabiqoon in Islam. One of the first people to embrace al-Islam. وَأُمُّهَا أُمَيْمَةً And her mother was أُمَيْمَةً بِنْتُ خَلْفٍ الْخُزَاعِيَّةِ Her mother's name was أُمَيْمَةً, the daughter of خَلْف, and she was from الْخُزَاعِي, the family of الْخُزَاعِي. إِحْدَى فضليات نساء الصحابة and her mother was one of the noble women from amongst the Sahaba. So her father was from amongst the noble men who was from the early people who accepted Islam in the days of Mecca, and her mother was from the nobility of the women of the Sahaba. وأخوها سعيد بن خالد And her brother was Sa'id, the son of Khalid. أحد الصحابة الأبرار. And he was also one of the righteous companions of the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وعمها عمر ابن سعيد ابن العاص. And her paternal uncle was Amr, the son of Sa'id, the son of Al-As, and he was of the Sabiqeen ila al-Islam aydan. He was from amongst the early embracers of Islam, just like her father, Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn Al-As. Her uncle, Amr ibn Sa'id ibn al-As, رضي الله تعالى عنه ورضاه, قتل في معركة اليرموك. He was killed as a martyr in the battle of al-Yarmouk. And al-Yarmouk was one of the most decisive battles, not only in history, it was one of the most decisive battles in history, not just Islamic history, but in history. Al-Yarmouk was one of the most decisive battles in the history of the world. The history of the world. وزوجها أحد العشرة المبشرين بالجنة. And Khalid, once again, whose name was Amma, رضي الله تعالى عنها, she was married to one of the 10 people who was given the glad tidings of Al-Jannah, paradise. She was married to one of those 10 people, Al-Ashara Al-Mubasharun, one of the 10 people given the glad tidings of paradise. His name was Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam رضي الله تعالى عنه ورضاه. ولدت خالد في أرض الحبشة. خالد رضي الله تعالى عنها ورضاها. She was born in Abyssinia. She was born in Abyssinia. وفتحت عينيها على الإسلام. And her eyes were open to Islam. Her eyes were open to Islam. وكان والدها من المهاجرين إلى الحبشة حين اشتد الأذى على المؤمنين في مكة. Her father was from amongst those people who made that first of the two hijras. Remember, sisters, barakallahu fi kunna, that there were two hijras in the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first was to Al-Habasha. Al-Habasha, which we call Abyssinia, now called Ethiopia. The second was from Mecca to Al-Madinah. Her father was one of the first of the Muhajirun to Al-Habasha when the oppression and the harm and the torture of the Muslims became intense in those days in Mecca. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لِأُمِّ خَالِدٍ مَكَانَةً عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَيْثُ كَانَ يَخُصُّهَا بِهَدِيَّتِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And Khalid رضي الله تعالى عنها, she had a very special place, a very special position and rank with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, owing to the fact that he singled her out with a gift. He singled her out with a gift. There is a hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in the book of Al-Adab, the book of good manners. And in the Dar es Salaam publishing translation of Sahih al-Bukhari, you can find it on page 28. The chapter number is 17. The name of the chapter is مَنْ تَرَكَ صَبِيَّةَ غَيْرِهِ حَتَّى تَلْعَبَ بِهِ أَوْ قَبَّلَهَا أَوْ مَازَحَهَا. And this hadith is 5993. Once again, it's the Dar es Salaam translation of Sahih al-Bukhari, 9 volumes. It is page 28, chapter 17. The name of the chapter is, whoever allows a small girl or another person to play with him or kiss her or had a joke with her, or played with her. It is hadith number 5993. And the hadith is as follows. Imam al-Bukhari said, حَدَّثَنَا حِبَّان قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ عَنْ خَالِدْ ابْنُ سَعِيدٍ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ أُمِّ خَالِدْ بِنْتِ خَالِدْ بِنْ سَعِيدٍ قَالَتْ أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم مع أبي وعلي قميص أصفر فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سنة سنة قال عبد الله وهي بالحبشية حسنة وهي بالحبشية حسنا قالت فذهبت ألعب بخاتم النبوة فزبرني أبي قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعها ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبلي وأخلقي ثم أبلي وأخلقي ثم أبلي وأخلقي قال عبد الله فبقي حتى ذكر يعني من بقائها. Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى, he said that Hibban narrated to us that Abdullah informed us that he said that from Khalid ibn Sa'id, from his father, from Khalid herself, the daughter of Khalid ibn Sa'id, she said, I came to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with my father, and I was wearing a yellow shirt. I was wearing a qamis that was asfar. A qamis that was asfar, that was yellow. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sana, sana. And the sub-narrator, Abdullah, the sub-narrator in this narration from Sahih al-Bukhari, he said that the word sana in the language of the Habashis, the language of the Abyssinians, the language of the Ethiopians, and there are many languages in Ethiopia. One of them is Amharic today. And Amharic actually is the mother of the language, which is a dialect from Amharic or Aramaic, called Syriac. And Syriac is before Arabic. Syriac is older than Arabic and Hebrew. Suryaniya, the language of Suryaniya or Syriac. In fact, this was the language along with Al-Ibriya, along with Hebrew, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered Zayd ibn Thabit to learn. Because they weren't secure with the Jews giving them information in their letters that they would write to them. So, to protect themselves from them increasing or decreasing in the Hebrew language and also in Syriac, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu to learn these languages. And he learned those languages in less than a month. He learned those languages in less than a month. So the narration, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sana, sana, that seen noon with a he, the he that's in the word shahada, the same h that's in the word shahada, not the h that's in the word Muhammad, not the hard h, but the soft h, like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said twice, sana, sana. The word sana in the Ethiopian language means beautiful, beautiful. This is what he said when Khalid came with her father wearing that qamis, that shirt that was yellow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used two words, the same word, twice, that wasn't Arabic. Allahu Akbar. And we find this in quite a few narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he used words that weren't from the Arabic language. That were not from the Arabic language, like in another narration, when the Prophet's companion, Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took a date from the dates of the sadaqah and put it in his mouth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kakh, kakh. He said, kakh, kakh, means get it out of your mouth. Throw it out of your mouth. And this language was the language al-Farisiyya, which is the language of the Persians, which is now known as Iran. Persia is now known as Iran. Nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his sibt, told his grandson, his rehana, his sweet-smelling flower, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call al-Hasan, and he used to call al-Husayn, his rehana, his two rehanas. Rehana in English is a sweet basil. That's the flower called sweet basil, rehana. So he told his grandson, al-Hasan ibn Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, kakh, kakh. Throw it out of your mouth. But the language that the Prophet used, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that hadith, that's also collected by Imam al-Bukhari, found in Kitab al-Jihad wa Sir, in the book of Jihad, was from the language of the Persians. And there's some great benefit and wisdom that I'm sure a few sisters thought about it long and hard enough why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some occasions used words from other languages. In fact, there is a book that is written by one of the scholars of the past. That scholar was Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullahu ta'ala, that's called Al-Mutawakkili. And in that book, Al-Mutawakkili, he brings 118 words, in his opinion, that are in the Quran that are not Arabic. 118 words that are from other languages, like Syriac, like Roman, like Ethiopian, or the language Aramaic, like Hebrew, etc. So this woman, رضي الله تعالى عنها, Umm Khalid, she said, I came to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with my father, and I was wearing a yellow shirt. So Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Sinah, Sinah. And the sub-narrator, Abdullah, he said, it means beautiful, beautiful, in the Ethiopian language. And then Khalid, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she added to that, that I started playing with the seal of prophethood. I started playing with the seal of prophethood. And my father admonished me. My father admonished me. Before we go on, we'd like to mention something for the benefit of you sisters about the seal of prophethood. The Khatam al-Nubuwa. Khatam al-Nubuwa. The ulama of Islam, they say, من الصفات التي وصف بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو وصف بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الكتب المتقدمة أنه بين كتفيه خاتم النبوة فكان ذلك علامة على صدقه وأنه النبي صلوات الله وسلامه عليه الموعود صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وقد وردت صفة خاتم النبوة في السنة الصحيحة أنه كان بارزا في حجم بيضة الحمامة بين كتفي النبي صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. That one of the features of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are mentioned in the ancient classical books is that between his shoulders was the seal of prophethood, Khatam al-Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood. That was a sign. That seal of prophethood was an alama, not with a shadda, alama, but alama without a shadda, because alama with a shadda means a scholar, but alama without the shadda means amara, it means a sign. So this khatim and nubuwa, this seal of prophethood, was a sign of the sidq. Barakallahu fihi. We have a brother here in Masjid al-Fajr, hafidhullah, may Allah preserve him and his family. His name is Abu Siddiq. This was the Siddiq of the Prophet, the truthfulness. This sign of the seal, or the seal on the Prophet's back between his shoulders, is a sign of his Siddiq, a sign of his veracity, a sign of his truthfulness, and that he was indeed the promised Prophet, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. The ulama, they say that the description of the seal of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has been narrated in the sahih sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was an area of raised skin, the size of a pigeon's egg. It was an area of raised skin the size of a bayda. This is a nice vocabulary word for you sisters, because barakallahu fi kunna, you're always cooking for your husband, may Allah reward you, you're always cooking for your children, so you should know this word, bayda. Bayda, with a ta at the end, the closed ta, ta al marbuta. Baybatun. Bayda is egg. It's an egg. Bayda. And the word abyad comes from that same root, means white, because the bayda is white. So this seal of prophethood was an area of raised skin, the size of a pigeon, a hamama. Not hammam, the bathroom, without the shadda. It's hamama. Hamam or hamama. It was a raised piece of skin on the, at the size of a pigeon's egg, between the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, and there are many explanations of Sahih al-Bukhari, but the one that is the best one, inshallah, is called Fath al-Bari by Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, with regard to that which has been narrated about it being like the mark of a cupping glass, or like a black or green mold, or that the words that are written on it, Muhammad Rasulullah, or Sir fa anta al-mansur, travel, because you are victorious, you've been made the winner, or the words other than that have been, they say, that have been written on that seal, that Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says, وَلَا تَغْتَرْ بِمَا وَقَعَ مِنْهَا فِي صَحِيحِ ابْنِ حِبَّانِ فَإِنَّهُ غَفَلَ حَيْثُ صَحَّهَ ذَلِكَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani, he said, as for those narrations that says that written on the seal on the Prophet's back, between his shoulders, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, or the words of the phrase, travel and you will be successful, you will be victorious, meaning going out in jihad, etc., you will be victorious. Any of these things like this that they say is written on the back of the Prophet's, on the seal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he says, فَلَمْ يَثْبُتْ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ. There's nothing that has been authenticated and confirmed to be true, or to be truthful, about these things that are written. He says, وَلَا تَغْتَرْ بِمَا وَقَعَ مِنْهَا فِي صَحِيحِ ابْنِ حَبَّانِ. And this is a very important point. He says, and don't be deluded, don't be fooled or misled by what you may find in the hadith collected by Ibn Hibban, in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. And this is a side note, we want to make it, and maybe it may be a little bit above the sisters, their heads, some of the sisters, but we need to make it anyway, because we want to raise our level of education. Our brother Abu Hassan Malik, Hafizahullah, he just returned from a trip for a week at least, to the United Kingdom. And he said that the level of the brothers and the sisters upon the way of the Salaf there is much higher than it is here. He said, I gave a speech to 300 women, and for the entire time during the questions and answers, not one question out of 300 women came up about marriage or divorce. Not one question. He said all of the questions were ilmi. All of the questions were very, very knowledge-based and scholastic. So we need to raise our level of education. We need to study more, sisters. You sisters need to study more and involve yourselves in those things that will elevate you. And one of the ways that will happen is that the men do what they're supposed to do, so you won't have to ask those questions about marriage and divorce and khula and iddah. It all falls back on the men. Wallahu musta'an wa alayhi tuklan. In any event, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he said, don't be fooled by what you read in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. The point that we wanted to make is that Ibn Hibban is known, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars of hadith. When we hear that a hadith is from Sahih Ibn Hibban, we should never, ever, ever, when we hear Sahih Ibn Hibban, we should never, ever, ever compare Sahih Ibn Hibban, because the word Sahih is in front of it, like Sahih al-Bukhari or Sahih Muslim. Because Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are on another level. There's no book more authentic after the Book of Allah than Sahih al-Bukhari and then Sahih Muslim. As for Ibn Hibban's Sahih, then Ibn Hibban is known for being mutasahil. He's known amongst the scholars of hadith for being mutasahil, being very lenient when it comes to saying this hadith is sahih, that hadith is sahih, this hadith is sahih, that hadith is sahih. Be careful. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he said, وَلَا تَغْتَرْ بِمَا وَقَعَ مِنْهَا فِي صَحِيحِ ابْنِ حِبَّانِ. So don't be misled by the hadith that you find in the collection of the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. فَإِنَّهُ غَبَلَ حَيْثُ صَحَّهَ ذَلِكَ. He said, because he was remiss with regards to making that narration authentic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was playing with the seal of prophethood on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does that tell us, sisters? There's some benefit we gain from that. A lot of benefits. We won't have time for you to write down those benefits, inshallah, because after the talk, we're going to be leaving. We won't have time for you to write down those benefits and send them in. So we'll give you some benefits now, inshallah. One of the benefits in this hadith, and we haven't even finished it yet, one of the benefits, it shows the kindness of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another benefit we gain from this hadith is that it shows the concern that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, had for children. The concern that he had for children. The lovingness and tenderness that he had for children. Also, it shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the children to touch him, as we know that when he used to come from an expedition or a trip, when he used to walk into the city of Medina, outside the city, before he even got to the city limit, the children sometimes would there be playing and waiting for him, and they used to jump on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he used to pick them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children sometimes at a time. And he used to walk from outside of the city of Medina, carrying them on his shoulder, carrying one under one arm, carrying one on another arm, one on his thigh, another one on his thigh, another one around his waist, because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Imam al-Tirmidhi, he stated that he had the strength of 30 camels. The strength of 30 camels. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time during Hajj on Yomul Nahar, the day of sacrifice, with his own hand, sacrificed more than 60 camels by himself. It usually takes 2 men or more to take a camel down to sacrifice it, to slaughter it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam slaughtered more than 60 camels in one day by himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used to be very kind with the children, put water in his mouth and spit it out on them. He used to stick his tongue out on them, sticking his tongue out at them. He used to play with them and tickle them. This shows the tenderness of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the males and female children from amongst the Sahaba, radwanallahi alayhim ajma'een. So, Khalid, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, says, Abarani Abi. So my father admonished me. My father admonished me. Why was he admonishing her? Because we know how it is when the sheikh comes to visit us, or the elder comes to visit us, or one of the du'as or the talib al-ilm comes to visit us, comes to do a lecture, and you have your child there. The child runs over and starts kicking and punching and slapping and playing around and doing all those things. And you say, get away from him. This is the sheikh. What are you doing? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, da'aha. Leave her alone. Da'aha. Leave her alone. In other words, let her continue to touch and feel the seal of prophethood on his back, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only did he allow Khalid, Amma bintu Khalid, with the kunya Khalid, radiallahu ta'ala anha, the one who was born on the first hijra in Al-Habasha. He not only did he allow her to do it, telling the father, da'aha, leave her alone, leave her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then made dua for her. He said, abli wa akhliqi. He said, may you live long. May you live so long that your dress wears out. May you live so long that your dress gets worn out. One of the interesting things about this narration, sisters, one of the interesting things about this narration is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could have just said, Ebli. Ebli. Ebli is from the noun Iblaq. Iblaq. Iblaq means to wear something out. Or he could have just said, Akhliqi. Akhliqi. Wear it out. From the word Ikhlaq. Ikhlaq. From the word Ikhlaq. Both of these words basically have similar meanings. Both of them have similar meanings. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the most eloquent of all human beings, the most eloquent of all human beings, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Jawami'ul Kalam. He has an attribute, Jawami'ul Kalam. He speaks small words, but they're expansively wide in their meaning. He said, Abli wa akhliqi. May you wear it until you wear it out, and let it mend and be patched up many times. This is a dua that the Arabs use to mean, may you have long life. May you have long life. And this is why Imam al-Zahabi, as we said in the beginning, he said, I think, أَظُنُّ أَنَّهَا آخِرِ الصَّحَابِيَاتِ وَفَاتًا, that she was the last of the Sahaba, female Sahaba, to live. She was the last one to die. In fact, Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, he mentions in his book, Sira Alama Nubala, almost at the end of the chapter dealing with her life, he says that she lived to be 90 years old. She lived to be 90 years old. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua for her. He said, Abli wa akhliqi. May you live so long that your dress gets worn out and that you'll mend it many times. And then wear another one. The whole meaning of this is then the statement of the Prophet. And then you have another one until that gets worn out. This narration, sisters, that we find in Sahih al-Bukhari, it has some more benefits. One of the other benefits of this particular narration is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said it three times. Abli wa akhliqi. Thumma abli wa akhliqi. Thumma abli wa akhliqi. May you wear it a long time, until it wears out, and then you get another one until it's worn out. meaning may Allah prolong your life. There's some benefits from this statement. Number one, the ulama of Islam from other hadiths from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say that when a person gets a new garment, a new overgarment, a new salve, a new dress, a new slip, a new khimar, that when that person gets that overgarment or that new slip or whatever, that to make this dua for the person is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another narration, he said, إِلْبِسْ جَدِيدًا وَعِشْ حَمِيدًا وَمُتْ شَهِيدًا سَعِيدًا. When a person would have a new garment, he would say to them, إِلْبِسْ جَدِيدًا, may you wear this new garment, وَعِشْ حَمِيدًا, and may you have an honorable life, a praiseworthy life, وَمُتْتُ شَهِيدًا سَعِيدًا, and may you die a martyr and happy. Also from this, we gain the benefit from the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that you should not ask a person, or you should not make dua for a person, that the person live long. Like for instance, in Arabic we say, Atalallahu umraka. Atalallahu umraka. May you have long life. The ulama, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, La. You should never make that type of dua for a person, a Muslim. May you have long life. But rather what you should say is that you should add to that, أَطَالَ اللَّهُ عُمْرَكَ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, or أَطَالَ اللَّهُ عُمْرَكَ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ وَسُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعَلَى فَهْمٍ وَعَمَلَ السَّلَفَ الصَّالِحِ. Rather what you should say is, may Allah make your life long on His obedience. And you can add to that if you want, may Allah make your life long on His obedience, the obedience of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the understanding and practical application of the salaf. Why? It's because if you make dua to Allah for that person, that sister, your mother, your aunt, that's a Muslim, if you make dua for your daughter to have a long life without adding to it upon Allah's obedience, then Allah may answer that dua, and that person may live as long as Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anha, and be in disobedience to Allah, which is a curse. Wallahi, hadha wabal, hadha balak. That would be wretchedness for them. That would be a curse for them. But rather you should say, may Allah make your life long upon His obedience. And this is one of the reasons why Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said that people shouldn't celebrate their birthday. Not just because it's an innovation, not just because it's an imitation of the disbelievers, but also the person, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, if he lives to be 46 years old, then he's celebrating 46 years of sin and disobedience towards Allah. Why would they want to celebrate that? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to this woman, رضي الله تعالى عنها, أبلي وأخلقي ثم أبلي وأخلقي ثم أبلي وأخلقي. May you live so long that your dress gets worn out, and you will mend it many times and then wear another one out until it gets worn out. Some of the ulama, they bring another narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the word that was used wasn't the letter qaf, but rather the letter in place of the letter qaf was the letter fa. Once again, sisters, I encourage you, we encourage you to learn the Arabic language. You have to learn the Arabic language. You have to study the Arabic language. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Abli wa akhlifi. In the other narration, he used the fa, fa as in Fatima, not the qaf as the letter Q in Quran, or that which seems like it's a Q. Abli wa akhlifi, meaning may you wear it very long until it's worn out, and then replaced. Meaning, may Allah replace it with finer garment in Jannah. This is the meaning. From that we see once again that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was jawami'ul kalam. He was the one that spoke small words, but they're comprehensive in meaning. Also in Sahih al-Bukhari, we have another narration. And this one is found in Kitab al-Libas. The first one was Kitab al-Adab. This one is Kitab al-Libas. The first one in the book of etiquettes and good manners. This one also in Sahih al-Bukhari in the book of dress, the book of clothing. That Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, أوتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بثياب فيها خميصة سوداء صغيرة. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was given some clothes which included a خميصة. And the other narration sisters in Kitab al-Adab and Sahih al-Bukhari, the book of etiquette, the word that was used was qamisa, was a qaf. In this narration, the word that is used is khamisa, was a qaf. The first one is the qaf, like in Quran, and the second one was kha, as in Khadijah. He was given a khamisa that was small and black. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَنْ تَرَوْنَ أَنْ نَكْسُوَ هَذِهِ. Who do you think I should give this to wear? To whom should I give this garment to wear? فَسَكَتَ الْقَوْمِ. So the people were silent. They didn't say anything. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِتُونِي بِأُمِّ خَالِدٍ. He said, bring Khalid to me. Bring Khalid to me. فَأُوْتِيَ بِهَا تُحْمَلُ. Then she said, Khalid said, I was brought to the Prophet being carried. What does that tell us, sisters? Once again, that tells us that she was a little girl. She was a sabiya. She was a little girl. I was brought, carried, as I was a little girl at that time, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَخَذَ الْخَمِيصَ بِيَدِهِ فَأَلْبَثَهَا. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the khamisa with this small black piece of cloth, and he took it in his hand, and he clothed her with it. He clothed me with it. And then he said, أَبْلِي وَأَخْلِقِي. May you live so long that your dress will wear out and you will mend it many times. وَكَانَ فِيهَا عَلَمٌ أَخْضَرُ أَوْ أَصْفَرُ. The narration continues and it says, and on the khamisa there were some green or yellow designs. There were some green or yellow designs. And asfar could not only mean yellow, it could also mean pale. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw these designs on it. He said, Ya Umma Khalid. Remember, he's speaking to a little girl. Ya Umma Khalid, hada sanah. He said, this is sanah. Once again, using the Ethiopian or the Habashi or the Abyssinian word that means beautiful, he said, this is beautiful. We also, in the book of Al-Jihad, from Imam Al-Bukhari, we have the narration from Khalid, bint Khalid ibn Sa'id, where she said, أَتَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَعَ عَلِي وَعَلَيَّ قَمِيصٌ أَصْفَرٌ. I went to Allah's Messenger, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ, with my father, and I was wearing a yellow shirt. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to me, Sene, Sene, beautiful, beautiful. And then I started playing with the seal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam between his shoulders, and it goes on as the narration that we mentioned before. In conclusion, my beloved sisters in al-Islam, this noble woman, Ummu Khalid, radiallahu ta'ala anha, was one of those few women who was allowed to be given a gift by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's also one of the few women who was able to later on narrate this narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he died. And this is something that is unique that the scholars of hadith give us as a benefit. And that is that there are some occasions when some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam learned narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they hadn't even reached the age of puberty. They hadn't even reached the age of puberty. And this is one of those narrations that when she became older, she narrated this hadith. And there's some other occasions similar to this, as in the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We said that I heard from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ الْبَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَ أُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. That indeed, that which is lawful is clear and plain, and that which is unlawful is clear and plain. This companion, An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, he narrated this hadith, or he memorized this hadith, before he was 7 years old. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died when he was seven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died when he was 7 years old. So that lets us know that at least he was seven, or he memorized that hadith before he became 7 years of age. What does that tell us about our children, sisters? And then he narrated the hadith later on when he became an adult. Likewise, we have the hadith from Abu Muhammad Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, حَفِظْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. I memorized from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the words, leave off that which gives you doubt to go to that which causes you no doubt. When the Prophet died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan was 6 years old. He was 6 years old, and then he narrated that hadith when he became a young man. So Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, he says this is a proof that a person can memorize something from the scholars of hadith, that they give us the benefit, that a person can memorize something or hear something from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will be any harm from accepting that narration when he says the narration or narrates the hadith when he becomes an older person. Likewise, a person can be a kafir, hear a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then embrace Islam, and then say, I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam such and such, and that hadith will be accepted. My beloved sisters in al-Islam, barakallahu fi kunna, this noble woman, Khalid, her name was Amma, the daughter of Khalid, Al-Qurashiyya, Makkiyya, this Qurashite or Qurashi woman. She is one that we find many benefits in her life, and she only has two hadiths that she narrated according to Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We end this narration, or we end these benefits from one of the sahabiyat, Amma bin Khalid, Amma Khalid, with the statement of Imam al-Zahabi again, where he said, أَظُنُّهَا آخِرَ الصَّحَابِيَاتِ وَفَاتٍ, that I believe that Khalid was the last of the Sahabiyat, the female companions to die. This is what we wanted to say for you sisters this evening. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima mazida. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.